Praise the Lord. Hello, everybody. What a great, great treat to be here during, again, this Thanksgiving week. And I want to talk to you a little bit today just about being thankful, taking a moment here or there in your day in this season and just being grateful. So got a lot on my heart just to put in your heart this morning. I know you're going to be refreshed. I know you're going to be blessed. I've already been blessed just sitting with your pastor in his office. I've been taking notes. You know, you're blessed to be planted in this place. You're very blessed. And the wisdom that's in the leadership here and the worship this morning, by the way, superb worship team. I really, really enjoy that. Did y'all enjoy that? Amen. All on the love of the Father. We're family. We are children of God. And it's astonishing to think about it because we didn't have to qualify to become. We were pre-approved through the work of another. And that's the beauty of just believing and receiving his goodness for you. Hey, let me give you a little mission update. Thank you for giving to your local church. As you know, through your faithfulness and your giving to your church is able to do so many things around the world, just like your upcoming assignment in the Philippines with the churches, the Bayes Word churches there. So, and mutual faith also is an extension of your love and life around the world. And so we want to say thank you for your kindness to your local church because we are able to be an extension of your love, your life in the nations of the world. So thanks very much. Let me show you a quick video and then I'll teach a little bit. Awesome. Isn't that good news? Praise the Lord. So, friends, that's a little bit what you've been up to through joining your faith together with us. So thanks very much. I'm actually home for a little season. My wife, Heidi, on October 30th, had double knee replacement surgery. And so on Tuesday, this will be the full third week. And so I've suspended all of our ministry assignments. This was the first trip I could take, really. So I'm delighted that I could continue to come this year. But I've been the head nurse 24/7. And I've been fired every day for the last 3 weeks. The problem is Heidi has a real challenge because she doesn't have any budget to hire anybody else. So it's either me or nothing. And but it's been quite a journey, and the grace of God has been enough through it all. She's walking again and doing better, and just some pain issues that we're trusting the Lord for her with. But not this week. I'll be home this week. I fly home after the service today. But then next week I go to the Philippines and work with our team there. We're in the process of building another home. And so I'm meeting with builders and architects. We need a second home. You know, when you rescue kids, our most recent little guy we rescued, he was all bound and tied up and The police found him, and they delivered him to our home, the Life Home for Super Kids, you know. And we have a lot of favor with the government there. They like our ministry and what we're doing for kids. But, you know, when you take a child, let's say 6 years old, 5 years old, you don't take them for a couple of months. You take them till they're 18. I mean, it's like a big deal. You know, I told our people, finally, I said, hey, listen, you all have to approve every new person with me. You know, because I'm keeping them for like 15 years, some kids, you know. And so it's really, really something. So we've noticed that as the kids get older, the boys and girls, they need separate spaces. And so I need to build another home, girls in one, guys in another. Isn't it wonderful helping people? So I get to go meet with builders and then raise money in the new year for a Life Home. So it's exciting. Hallelujah. God is good. And this is what really compels me these days in the work of the ministry. It's the love I've learned and the love I've received from the Father. This Paul said it this way. The love of Christ compels me. Not your love for Christ. The love of Christ compels me. My only motivation in ministry today has nothing to do with doing something. Has nothing to do with solving anybody's problems. Has nothing to do with resume, like you're doing something wonderful, or legacy, or whatever people think. My only motivation in ministry today is I know I'm loved. You know how you know you're loved? Paul said, because I judge thus. If one died, all died. Now, if you can believe that, you got to swallow it by faith, because it's astonishing. It's a picture of the cross. It's the love of the Lamb. And it's all gift-based. That's why this morning I want to talk to you about gifts. I want to talk to you about being thankful, because it's Thanksgiving, but being thankful for a gift. How many of you like Christmas season and gifts? We all like gifts, you know. Let me tell you a few things I want. I'll give you my address. You can send them to me. You know, I noticed the last couple of days, Heidi would get gifts from people. Because we didn't post it on Facebook or social media about, you know, her knees or challenges. We just didn't do a lot of personal things like that. So I said, Heidi, let's not make a big fuss. But somehow people have heard things and they've sent her gifts. Nobody sent me nothing. But they sent her gift. She got a gift, though. She got a gift full of, like, chocolates and all kinds of goodies. Now, I did not give that gift to her. It was at the front door. And I felt led that was for me. But you know, we all like gifts, and we can remember through the years of different gifts. Heidi and I got a call. These people in Ohio a couple nights ago wanted to talk and pray for Heidi. So we said, and they're old-time friends. In fact, I remember this couple because when I moved back to America in 1984, think about this. This year, coming year, is the 35th anniversary of Mutual Family. It amazes me, you know. Because I remember after our first year of marriage, living overseas, then coming back to America with a dream called Mutual Faith. I long to see you that I might impart to you a spiritual commodity, a spiritual gift. To the end, you will be encouraged, strengthened, and established through the mutual faith. Both of you and me. Romans 1, 11, and 12. So we launched a vision to impart to people gift, the gospel of the gift, because the gift encourages you. The gift establishes you. The gift strengthens you. But it's through mutual faith. There's a camaraderie to it. And so I remember years ago, 35 years ago, driving around America in my old car I bought, because I bought a car for $3,600. And drove around for 6 months in America. And I asked God, God, show me somebody who can believe I'm carrying something for the nations. And I went through Ohio. In those days, there were phone booths. How many remember what a phone booth was? I would go drive around. This is, you know, with no plan. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing. And sometimes I still don't know what I'm doing, to be honest with you. You just kind of stumble by faith, being drawn by the love of the Lord. And I went into this town, went to a phone booth, pulled out the yellow pages to churches. Then found out any church name that looked kind of charismatic, independent, you know, whatever. And I would call them. And no cell phones back then. And I would call and I would ask, you know, I'm passing through town. Would you have 5 minutes if I stop by, or could I have a cup of coffee with you? And this one guy, he said, come on by. I said, I was amazed. So I went to see him and sat across. He spent about 10 minutes. He was nice. And he stopped me about 5 minutes. He said, what are you doing Sunday? This was on a Friday, about noontime. He said, what are you doing Sunday morning? I said, well, I've got a meeting Sunday night in another part of Ohio, a couple, 3 hours from here. He said, well, if you're here Sunday morning, I'll let you preach. I said, okay, thank you. He didn't offer me a place to stay or anything, but, you know, I'd sleep in my car if I had to. I found an old ratty place to stay in because I was broke. I mean, I was below broke, but on Sunday morning I went through, there was about 20 people. 25 people. But I could tell the pastor was a little, you know, insecure maybe of me being there or something. I don't know. So I just shared. And at the end, this guy grabs me. He said, you know, can I have your business card? I said, no, I don't have nothing. I said, if you need to reach me, you know, your pastor has my address, you know. And I prayed for like 6-8 people or something and left. Drove on to the next meeting, didn't get an offering or anything, just left, said, praise the Lord, you know. But while I was driving in America, I called home because I had somebody always check our little P.O. box. And the person said, hey, Keith, you actually got something in the mail today. I said, awesome. Is it junk mail or is it really like something helpful, you know? And they said, no, it was something from Ohio. Somebody gave you $500. I said, $500? That was like 1984. I said, $500? And I thought, who is this? And then next month they gave $500. Then they gave $500. Then they gave $1,000. Then $1,000. Then $2,000. $2,000. And $3,000. You know, every month $3,000. Now back in that, that kept me alive. I said, Heidi, you can afford to stay with me. I'm going to feed you, girl. I'm going to feed you. And then I thought, you know, should I ever meet this guy? I said, no, I told Heidi, I can't meet him. He won't like me. They'll stop giving. This is how insecure I was. So anyway, this person had a big company back in those days. And then in 1991, he lost everything. And since then, he's not made one dime. But he's our friend, so he called a couple nights ago. So I said, Heidi, let's have a call. So we had a conversation and beautiful fellowship, and they pray. We took communion together, things like that. And they prayed for Heidi and things. But I was thinking about the gifts they gave us back in those days. And as important and powerful as those gifts were, I can describe them to you. I can show you what they've done. But, you know, there's a gift God gives you that's indescribable. Look at the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Here's what Paul tells the believers. He says, thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. What God gave you in Christ has no human language to articulate it. It's an indescribable gift. To think that God gifted Jesus to you and you can find yourself in him and in the gift of the Lamb, everything with the Father is cool with you. That the gift becomes your righteousness. The gift becomes your holiness. The gift is your sanctification. It messes with your human thinking. It's an indescribable gift. The gospel that we preach is not a merit-based gospel. The gospel of the new covenant is about the love of the Lamb. It's gift-based. It's the gospel of the gift. And this ought to make you thankful. If you got nothing else to be happy about, if you don't like your job, if your economics stinks, if your health is challenged, if you don't like the politics of our world, if everything is going wrong, you have the gospel of the gift. And the gift ought to so warm your heart, you can articulate a thank you. The Bible says thanks go to God because of an indescribable gift. You know, through all these years of life in ministry, I tell you about this couple that really kept us alive in ministry in the early days of ministry. I think of all the things through the years we've been assigned to build or do. You know, and I take assignments without any money. And then God sovereignly does something supernatural that's stunning to me. I marvel at it, even to this day. I marvel at the love of the Lamb. And I never know how it's going to be organized, how it's going to be done. But that's the beauty of believing. That's the beauty of carrying the assignment and the calling. And I want to encourage you today, no matter what seems to be wrong with your world, with your marriage, with your family, with your kids, with your grandkids. Listen, we can trust everyone and everything to the gift of Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God for His indescribable gift. On the plane yesterday flying to SeaTac, I flew from Burbank on Alaska Air, and I went last night. I got here about 5 and drove down to Olympia. Mike and Johanna Burkhart, you know, from out of this church, planted down there, and they had a little fellowship worship night. I gave a little encouragement, but on the flight down, I was thinking about this whole idea of being gift wrapped. Gift wrapped. My wife Heidi loves wrapping paper. Man, I gotta store this stuff every year. You know what I mean? These rolls. She's got like a box of wrap, all kinds. She likes everything different and fancy and unique, and she likes wrapping gifts. You know, the gift God gave you in Christ has wrapped you. The gift has shrunk wrapped you. You are in Him. You are a gift. He is the gift wrapped. God gave Jesus as a gift to you. You don't got to be better. You don't got to do better. You don't got to try harder. You don't got to do lickety split. You accept the beauty of a gift and say, thank you. You got to be kidding me. The gift wraps you. Your gift wrap. God gave Jesus as a gift to you. He wraps you. He is the propitiation for your sins. Right. And not your sins only, but the sins of the whole world. Can you believe it? Yeah. He gift wraps you when you welcome Him with a thank you. I believe. I receive. And when He wraps you, you're righteous as He is. When He wraps you, you have His wisdom. When He wraps you, you have everything you ever need in life. It's gift-based. God gives Jesus as a gift to you, and then Jesus wraps you, and He re-gifts you to God. You are gift-worthy. You have far more value than you can imagine, because you diminish yourself only for one reason. Because you know yourself according to the flesh. You don't know yourself according to Christ. When you know yourself according to Christ, you know yourself according to the gift. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift that does everything you ever need. He is your life. It's a thrill to me. I love to announce the news of the gift. I love to announce the news of people's redeemed innocence according to the Father's point of view through what He's granted. If you preach from God's perspective, you will astonish people because it gets them out of the calculation of themselves and puts them in the calculation of the cross. It's where the love of the Father is dynamic. It's where it seeps deep into your soul. It melts you. It moves you. It motivates you. It makes you want to live. I was preaching recently for a friend on the love of the Lamb, and somebody was watching on live stream or whatever, you know. So we were at this little Mexican restaurant for a burrito after the service. And I had fajitas. I didn't have a burrito. I like chicken fajitas. Hallelujah. Steak fajitas. Amen. Come on, let's all go now. Hallelujah. Let's just go. Huh? Let's get down to business in this church. Hallelujah. Anyway, and they called. Somebody called. And this lady spoke to me. She was weeping. She said, "Why hasn't anybody ever told me this? What you preached gives me the will to live. The gift is astonishing. Sometimes I have nothing else to say in life's challenges. Except thank you for the gift. I believe I am gift wrapped. It's the only righteousness I possess before the Father. It's the only thing that works before the Father. Is the love of the Lamb. Thanks be unto God for His indescribable gift. God gave Jesus as a gift to you. You never got to be good enough. Stop trying. No wonder you don't like yourself. No wonder you nitpick your spouse to pieces. No wonder your kids or grandkids are never good enough. Let them be. Let the love of God work. I stopped at the little store. I like that store by the church that sells all the vegetables and apples and stuff. Honeycrisp, 69 cents a pound. Man, I stopped there on the way here. Hallelujah. Got me a couple pounds. Hallelujah. Got them in my car because I didn't know if Pastor Jan would ever take me to lunch or not. So I got my own. I got like 5 apples. Because 5's the number of grace. Cost me $1.99. Awesome. What was I telling that story for? Oh, I met this lady. She said, "You are all dressed up this morning." I said, "Yeah." She said, "Did you come from church?" I said, "I'm going to church." She said, "You are?" I said, "Yeah, I'm speaking at a church right around the corner called By His Word Christian Center. You know, you ought to come join us." Oh, she said, "I'm working." But she got so happy because I started talking to her about the gift. I said, "The gospel is just gift. You know, it makes people smile if you don't have to qualify. Because then faith can come and people can believe. It takes the wear and tear out of trying to be moral enough and good enough in whatever." There's something refreshing about a gift. I like gifts with no strings attached. Have you ever had a gift and you knew, "Oh my goodness, there's a string attached to this"? I've always, when I was younger and more insecure, I'm still somewhat quite insecure, but you know, in my flesh, I know I got nothing going, really. Either the love of Christ secures me, either the favor of the Father is my everything, or I've got absolutely nothing. I'm comfortable this way, though. But I remember there are times people give things to help the ministry, but there was like a subtle attached thing to it. It's like, it's uncomfortable. But what God gives you in Christ, there's no strings attached. Just be loved. We as believers are afraid to be loved. We're so busy trying to be something and do something and whatever, you know, according to our capacity, instead of just receiving. Gift. And just saying thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for an indescribable gift. John 3, verse 16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him," what he gave is the gift. Jesus is the gift, "that whoever believes in the gift should not perish but have everlasting life." The gospel of the gift is just receiving that we've been included in him, in his death and in his rising, and now seated with him in heavenly places. But look at verse 17. "For God did not send the Son," the gift, "into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him," the gift, "might be saved." The gift that God gives you has no negative attachments. No negative attachments. We live in a world where there's always some attachment. There's always the attachments. It's like with the email world. There's always attachments to emails. And sometimes you can hit a wrong link and like get stung. How many have ever had that experience? I've had that experience recently where, you know, I was nice to a guy, which I'm a pushover. You know, I guess one of my great weaknesses is that I have a mercy motivation. My motivational gift is mercy. When it talks about Romans 12, I'm motivated by mercy. And it's a bummer because, you can be taken advantage of. And I guess my weakness is my strength. So anyway, I received a call, like 2:30 in the morning from a friend who fell in hard times, a pastor. And so I had mercy on him and gave him my credit card and helped him for a couple months. Got him places to stay, transportation, everything he needed. And it eventually cost a lot of money. But then I got an email and said, "This credit card," this looked like it's from the bank, you know. And they said, "Your credit card has been defrauded." And it was defrauded a lot of money. But they said, "Just click this link here and you can solve the problem." So I clicked the link, the attachment. And they said, "Just put in the code." And I, okay, put in the code. And then I knew I was stung. The negative attachment captured me. It made my blood boil. Have you ever had your blood boil? Anybody? I got so angry. And I'm such a nice guy. Listen, I'm such a wonderful person. I'm such a warm, fun-loving gospel preacher. So I'm at my house and I get furious. I know I've been ripped off. Now my whole system's infected. And I start pacing. I start saying things that are not nice. Now, Heidi was there. She saw the man of God lose the glory that was upon him. And he walked as a mere man. I mean, she could testify about it, but thank God she's not here to testify. Hallelujah. I mean, I was a disaster. I was calling everybody. I was trying to figure things out. I was calling people on my staff how to solve my problems. Because I'm a technology idiot. And so after about a half hour, 45 minutes, an hour, whatever it was, calling everybody, trying to sort this out, I finally had peace. But that's what negative attachments do to you. See, most people, in their thinking of Christendom, the way they've been taught the gospel, it's not been taught as gift. It's taught as merit. It's taught as an old covenant mindset. If you're obedient, if you're willing, if you do this, then you're blessed. But if you don't, then you're bummed out. You're cursed. But the gospel of the gift says something totally different. There is no negative attachment. Again, verse 17. "For God did not send the gift into the world to condemn the world." There's no condemnation attached with the gift. The gospel of the gift is that thrilling, that beautiful, and that powerful. So again, we thank God for His indescribable gift. God gave Jesus as a gift to us. We are gift wrapped. And then Jesus gives us as a gift to the Father. He re-gifts us to the Father. You're gift worthy. You now are the Father's treasure. You're the Father's pleasure. You're the Father's gift that Jesus grants back to Him. It's all just because you're astonished in the first place at Him and what He's done. And you find yourself secured eternally in His kind of redeeming love that makes no human sense. Because there's no negative attachments to it. It makes people afraid. Like, man, I'd rather live where it's kind of based on me. Well, I guess if you think good news is based on you, have at it. I find there's no good news based on me. There's good news based on the Lamb. And it's my faith and my confidence just in what He has done. Go with me real quick to John chapter 4. Jesus meets that woman at the well. I like the way Jesus witnesses. He meets a lady who's been married 5 times. So she probably had a lot of Me Too movement stories to tell, or she probably had, I don't know. Everything couldn't have gone right. I don't think all 5 guys died. I don't think she had a good experience with marriage because now she's just choosing to shack up. She said, I think I'd rather cohabitate with a brother than marry another one of them. Huh? So she's cohabiting with a dude, and Jesus loves her. And what did He present to her? He didn't present anything based on her capacity. He just presented her a gift. The gift triumphs over the mess. He didn't tell her she had to, you know, repent and confess what a loser she was. He just astonished her with a gift. I think sometimes the hearts of people melt if you just take them out of the equation. They can finally see the Lamb. And that's what's indescribable. They can see the love of God in Christ. Like, can it be? So Jesus makes a statement in verse 10, John 4, verse 10. Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God and who it is, the gift who is speaking unto you, you would ask of the gift, and the gift would give you whatever you want. I tell people, this is my momentum now in prayer. My momentum in prayer, of all types of prayer, is to be gift conscious. If I can ask of the gift will give me whatever I need. And its substance, it's living water. Its substance, it's life from another source, a different dimension. And the Bible says this thrilled this good old sinner girl so much, she went back to her own town, the village, gathered the men, and said, hey guys, I met a man. And they said, oh no, not another one. I met a Messiah man. I met somebody who told me everything about myself. Here's what to me is so radical about the gift. The gift, if you really believe what God has done for you in Christ, that He's taken away all your sins, that they've been nailed to the cross, that the blood is covered, that Jesus, the gift, is the propitiation, that He's the mercy seat, He's the covering of everything that speaks against you. If you believe you're gift wrapped, God's got nothing on you. He's got nothing against you. And I tell you what, this lady said, this guy spoke to me of everything about myself. If Jesus sat with you across from a little coffee table and told you everything about yourself, could you handle it? Could you handle it if He told you about your motivations, your crafty flesh, your cranky ways. I think you could handle it. I don't think it'd be as severe as you think. Because I think God sees you in Christ, and I think Jesus reveals the same love to you. The revelation of your redeemed innocence, that if you've accepted the gift, you're wrapped and you're covered. This is why the lady could handle it, and it motivated her to minister without Bible verses. It motivated her to tell others the truth of a redeeming gift that makes no human sense because you can't describe it. And yet there's a thrill. You got to be kidding me. I'm redeemed. He told me everything about myself and all is good. Can you believe it? It's the beauty of the gospel. What God has done for you in Christ is so beautiful. Go with me if you can to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. Here's what it says. As each one has received a gift. I think sometimes we diminish the value of our life. We diminish the value of our love. For example, I've learned just in these last 3 weeks taking care of my wife. You know, people have been very kind. They bring meals. Me, yeah. They bring soup. They bring, you know, lasagna. They bring whatever they make, you know. It's been a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful help. And it's been a beautiful ministry. It didn't cost nobody a lot of money. But there was a love that was communal in it. That's so rich. You have a gift. As each one has received a gift. You are gifted. You're gifted. And you're presented by Jesus as a gift to the Father. Jesus prays this way, by the way, in John 17. Jesus says, Father, thank you for those you've given me. Then the next verse, he says, I have given them to you. Jesus re-gifts you to God. Jesus gifts you to the Father. You never need to diminish yourself again according to the flesh. Refuse to know yourself according to the flesh. Because if you're going to try to know yourself according to your flesh and fix yourself according to the flesh, you're on a long journey of misery. You're just not that capable. There's quirks in all of us. Turn to your neighbor and say, I know you got two or three. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I know you got about two dozen. You got two dozen. Turn to somebody else and say, your quirks are incalculable. But that's the beauty. That's the beauty of our humanness. Our spirit is redeemed. And we're gifted to the Father. So it says, as each one has received a gift, whatever it is, you know, it's like I say, I don't understand how God orchestrates the mystery of his love toward people at times, but it's beautiful as it unfolds. It says, as each one has received a gift, trigger it. Don't sit still. Don't be isolated. Trigger it. Minister it. Minister it to somebody. Say hi. Go help somebody. I had somebody recently, you know, help me with some, just sound like simple things, but with wood, you know, in fixing something. I can't fix nothing. You know, and this brother, thank God, man, he knows how to use a screwdriver. It's tremendous. You understand what I'm saying? But use your gift. Don't diminish it. But there's people like me in the world, man. I need help. It's valuable. Your life is valuable. Your presence in the local church is valuable. Your handshake, your hug, your what is valuable. Speaking of a handshake or a hug, on Friday, what's the day? Today's Sunday. Oh, it's Sunday morning. Anyway, Heidi had a physical therapist, home physical therapy. Come to our house because, you know, both knees are replaced. So they're stretching and working and doing this stuff. And then Heidi was so painful and sore after that. She was laying there in the bed and the physical therapist was like massaging different muscles or ligaments or something around the knees. And she made a statement. She said, you know, of all my clients, she says, I'm amazed at how many people live without human touch. They don't have anybody that hugs them. They don't have anybody who just hugs them as they are. People always try to help you if they can fix you, huh? If you can think the way they think. But sometimes it's just good to be still. Just hold your peace and accept people as they are and just let the love of God work. Trust people to the mystery of Christ. Because I find that when the love of God grips somebody, it breaks people to a way where they can understand everything you say. And they were the most radically weird people before, but now they seem to be so accepting of the love of the Father. You know what I mean by that? I mean, where their worldview may be so bizarre to Christendom, but then suddenly God gives them faith to see the gift. And they get gift wrapped. They get gift wrapped. It's beautiful. So you minister your gift one to another. It says then in verse 10, as good stewards, 1 Peter 4:10, as good stewards of the mystery of God. Boom. Look at that. How about that? As good stewards of the grace of God. It's always the favor of the Father that's working. You may think, rah-rah for you. No. Rah-rah for the Lamb. Well, Keith, I really did it, man. We really got the deal to work. Rah-rah to the Lamb. Keith, we got the money. It really, I did a great job. Rah-rah to the Lamb. Rah-rah to the Lamb. Keith, my wife finally sees it the way I see it. It's not your persuasion, brother. Rah-rah to the Lamb. You minister one to another as good stewards of the grace of God. My prayer for you, friend, is that you be astonished with the gift. My prayer for you is that you will be thankful this week. And between now and Thanksgiving, just find a place, take a walk, sit under a tree, sit in your rocker, shut your eyes, watch TV, the Seahawks with one eye, shut the other eye. Say, Jesus, thank you for the gift. I'm gift wrapped. I'm redeemed. Did you all like the word today? Give the Lord some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands to heaven. Father, I thank you so much for the privilege of just sharing the word today. Thank you for by his word. Thank you for Pastor Jan. Thank you for Pastor John. Thank you for all the team. Thank you for all the leaders. Thank you for all those that are serving. Father, thank you that I'm always welcome. Even when I just come into the parking lot, I'm so welcome in this place. Thank you for the privilege of coming 25 consecutive years. It really is remarkable that people would love me enough to let me come year after year like this. Father, I just ask in Jesus' name that today, that you just make us astonished once again, that our whole salvation, being saved, is just all found in the beauty of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, that we're redeemed. Thank you that our eyes have been opened. Lord, you said in the book of Acts of Lydia that the Lord opened her heart. Father, we know that we can't force people to see things. We don't have the right whatever to force people to believe. But you have a way only in the love of the Father that seems to open the hearts of people. Father, I pray this morning for anybody who's come this morning and they feel lethargic. They feel depressed. They feel overwhelmed. They're insecure. They're full of fear. Whatever the issue is, Lord Jesus, we just give it to you. We're gift wrap people. God gave Jesus as a gift to us, and we just say thanks. And we believe wrapped in the love of the Father, wisdom is available for everything. Provision is available for everything. Sufficiency. Thank you that you use our lives. Motivate us in the love of the Father to be action-oriented people in our communities, in our world. Help us to be in awe, just like the woman at the well. Fully broken, yet fully fulfilled. Fully broken in her flesh, but fully alive to the love of the Lamb. And Father, she would announce the news. She would announce the news with no negative attachments called condemnation. Jesus, I thank you that you give us a way to talk with people. Lord, our culture is different than what it was when we're all kids. It seems like it's the world's different place. Help us, Father, in this culture, and Father, help me in all the cultures I work in. Father, give me a clue as to what to do about revealing the love of the Lamb. Let the hearts of people believe. Let the lives of people be transformed. Let the grace of God prevail in the hearts and minds of every person. And I thank you for it. And Father, I just pray for the people here, sitting here. Lord, you know the needs of people. You know the pain points of their life. I speak the word. Father, you said we can send the word and the word would even heal. We could send the word and there would be a calm. There would be a peace of the storm. I send the word of the love of the Lamb. I send the word of Jesus. I send the word of the gift that's indescribable. I speak Jesus, friend, over your life. For healing, for wholeness, for health, for peace, for wisdom, for soundness of mind. Father, let this be a week full of thrills in the love of the Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you for what you're doing and what you have done. We continue to give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a shout. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Pastor.
Many enjoyed that.